the 55th Psalm and the 22nd verse. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. Whether it's profitable to tell you this or not, I leave to you, but early Monday morning I lay awake thinking of this place, thinking of the present and the future. As we pass from year to year, we don't lay the burden down, and it grows in intensity and weight. It's like a mountain before us. I was going through the various people in my mind who worship here and some of their pathways, and it seemed like a catalogue of great need. And then very quietly this word was brought to my mind, and thinking about it I felt, well, if the Lord spares us to meet tonight, we'll try to speak a few words from it, because it is good instruction, and it is also accompanied with a promise. And though we may be spared to go from year to year, or from week to week, or from month to month, come to that, this instruction is really the best instruction that we could possibly have. You might look at various things through the Word of God, but here is a word that you can be thankful for, a word that was written so many years ago but so applicable today and tonight. David was the writer. I suppose we could say that his burdens were so far different from ours. The Psalm 55, we believe, is referring especially to that man Ahithophel, who, when Absalom was attempting to overthrow David and his kingdom, Ahithophel went to take the part of Absalom. Ahithophel was David's counsellor, so he turned as a counsellor to Absalom. But David had to say concerning Ahithophel in his prayer to the Lord that he will bring to nothing the counsel of Ahithophel. And so it was. And the man went out and hung himself. Very solemn. You read this chapter, a psalm rather, it's very solemn. It speaks about what Ahithophel was to David. For it was not an enemy that reproached me, then I could have borne it. Neither was it he that hated me, that did magnify himself against me, then I would have hid myself from him. But it was thou, a man mine equal, my guide, and my acquaintance. We took sweet counsel together and walked unto the house of God in company. So it was a lesson to learn, that well rehearsed word of late comes to mind, cease from man whose breath is in his nostril. So we learned a little from this painful path. The story of Absalom you can find in the Word of God, and how he was overthrown and so on. But the word, the blessing, the teaching and the mercy and the blessing that came from this was that he could record in his psalm to the Church of Christ, cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. Well, as we go from year to year, we don't leave the burden behind. you can look at your life and I can look at mine. And I've looked at it very closely. I don't know if it would be profitable or not to look back on some of these years that were past, but whatever it is accompanied by a burden. If God gives you a path to walk, it will be a burden to you, because it will be a burden, a God-given burden, but it will be one you can't manage. In the Church of Christ, there are those who carry burdens. Those who fear the Lord carry a burden, but it is a burden that they cannot manage. I thought, and it came to my mind, about the Lord Jesus Christ. And looking back on the way in which that we have been led, we have these words: I have trodden the winepress alone, and of the people there was none with me. For I will tread them in mine anger and trample them in my fury, and their blood shall be sprinkled upon my garments, and I will stain all my raiment. And this word, and I looked, and there was none to help, and I wondered that there was none to uphold. Therefore mine own arm brought salvation unto me, and my fury it upheld me. What a vast difference, of course, between the Lord's people and the Lord Jesus Christ in this respect. But there is a similarity. In that, this was the similarity as far as I was concerned, and I looked and there was none to help. And that's how it seems to me to be, and that's how we should go from year to year. And this is the suitability of this text. As there is none to help, and the Lord sees fit that there's none to help, then the word must be a word in season. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. I thought of those familiar words too that the Lord spoke to the apostle, perhaps in a different way, but yet the word in itself is sufficient or suitable. And the word was this: and he said unto me, my grace is sufficient. Those burdens, therefore, that we carry from year to year. And we've known sometimes in the year, or put it another way round, we've felt many times in the year that's almost gone, how could we continue with the burden? Because it grows in intensity. The word says, cast thy burden upon the Lord. And often it is a pathway where the child of God seems to be alone in it. And I believe, you know, though it's so contrary to nature, that's how the Lord would have it be so. Cast thy burden upon the Lord. I refrain from whatever burden it be, because we each have different burdens. There are, of course, common burdens to the child of God, but the pathway that they are led and directed, and in that pathway they have that burden to carry. The poet said, whatever cross lies at thy door, it cometh from the Lord. And I've never yet found a cross that's comfortable. And I know this, my friends, that the Lord prepares a cross for his people which is irksome enough, that they don't settle under that cross, but rather cry out under it. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. Which means to me, at least, if I've got the word of God right, that it doesn't speak about it being taken away, but rather the promise is, he shall sustain thee under the burden. And as we said just now, the way in which the Lord will sustain his people under these burdens is to them that all-sufficient grace, that they shall go. I've had to learn this. You will not go in your own strength. If it was, it wouldn't be a burden. If you could manage it in your own strength and your own wisdom, it's not a burden to you. But if it is of the Lord, this burden, then you will find a need to cry unto him, that he will support you and sustain you, and he will do so by his grace. There is a mercy here that must never be lost sight of, and that is every child of grace, everyone that fears the Lord, has in Christ Jesus a burden bearer. The poet said, "Cast on me, he said, thy care. 'Tis enough that I am nigh. I will all thy burdens bear. I will all thy needs supply." This is the nearest you will get to laying it down. We would lay it down. I would. Time and time again, I would have been willing to lay it down. But that's the nearest you'll get to laying it down. Cast thy burden upon the Lord. Lay it at his feet, that he will deal with it, and that he will give grace, sufficient grace, to continue under that burden. And he shall sustain thee. Now, there is other ways in which I believe the Lord's people shall feel upheld in the carrying of a burden. Not only his grace, because it is only by his grace that we shall ever do anything or ever know anything of the spiritual pathway. But then I came to this: his way was much rougher, much darker than mine. Did Christ my Lord suffer, and shall I repine? And I do believe, my friends, and I stand on that, the Lord so bless one's soul when they are in this state of the felt weight of a burden, it will make the burden light. It will make the burden light. "Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." You know, my friends, if one's enabled to do so in faith, resting upon the promises of Christ, that will take the weight off that burden. It doesn't take the burden away, but it takes the weight off of it. "And he shall sustain thee." That will be how he shall sustain. There again, if you are led to his pathway, if you have a view by faith of his pathway, then you will lose sight for a while of your own. You know, when the early church was persecuted for their faith, they deemed it, my friend, a privilege to suffer for the name and cause of Christ. They felt it was remarkable, I would feel, that they were worthy of that opposition, as they were dealt with so sadly for the name and cause of Christ that they carried. "Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee." And again, great and precious promises are found in the word of God, which one must never take to themselves unless the Holy Spirit is pleased to come and speak, and to speak such promises. Again, while it is so many and so blessedly applicable to the burden bearers in the Church of Christ, or the child of grace in general, for each shall have a burden, and they are very precious, those promises, and they are the means in God's hands to make them feel supported under it. "Thy shoes shall be iron and brass, and as thy days, so shall thy strength be." and you read throughout the Word of God of the promises which begin with "fear not." You know, when the Lord applies such promises, I've often thought of those saints of God in the Old Testament, and I have a great love for them, but oh, the blessings that they knew in the trials that they walked. Joshua comes to mind, of course, because as indeed so did Moses, when Moses was spoken to in the wilderness, when he went to see the burning bush, the Lord spoke to him through the burning bush, and he spoke about his future pathway of 40 years. Much resistance and much argument was found on the lips of Moses why he wouldn't do it. And continually he was reminded of the promises of God. Continually the Lord spoke great things to his soul that would indicate his help and his presence and his support. You know, when it came down to even speaking to Pharaoh, well, he couldn't do that. He had an impediment in his speech, and that was sufficient to put up another argument against even speaking. And yet the Lord says that he should go. Now therefore go, and I will be with thy mouth and teach thee what thou shalt say. The ways then in which the Lord is pleased to sustain his people in the pathway where lies their burden. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and there isn't anywhere else to cast it. And I wish I had that grace to do it more frequent and to do it more early. You know, you will find many a person seem to be able to make their way through life, but the child of God never will without that the help of God is granted. Often there's many fears. You don't know the fears that lie in the hearts of those who have to preach. You can't enter into them. They're undescribable, and quite often they're groundless, but they're very real for all that. And such concerns are so great and so impossible. There are impossible burdens then to the Lord's people. I thought too of that word that we read or just referred to concerning walking the pathway alone. I looked and there was none to help. And I thought back in this house of God, and there's been many a time when there's been none to help. I was going to say it is so now. There's none to help. We can't rely on anyone, my friends, but blessed be God, he hasn't changed. I told you the story. I remember walking up the street one Wednesday afternoon, and I suppose thinking of the prayer meeting with no one to speak in prayer. The words of Christ dropped in, "But I have prayed for thee." That was all it was. And I thought, well, I can continue then. It seemed to take away the solemnity of doing this or standing here week after week on one's own. My friends, he took the burden of that prayer meeting away with those words, "But I have prayed for thee." And such that know the path of then this path of where there's no help. I know what you're thinking. I know you'll say, but you know, there's such a weapon as secret prayer. I know there is. And I bless God that there is so. But you know, you can get tired, my friends, of doing everything. This cause of truth has seen it year after year after year. I don't know how many years it was in, I suppose I could work it out, but the dear pastor, when we came here, had many years when he was on his own. We came here in 81 and he died in 91. So he had something like 15 years. And then, of course, when I went out to preach, he then was back in the same position. He was on his own. I start the seventh year on Friday. And it was only just under 2 years we had somebody to give the hymns out. And after that, we were on our own, so we know it. We knew what a little of what the past pastor felt like. But this is the promise, this is the blessing, this is the encouragement that is found in the Word of God. Well, of course we would alter it if we could, but we can't. We can't alter it. Would do so if we could, but it wouldn't be the right way to alter it. The Lord must appear and the Lord must provide. And then there would be something else that would be a burden. But nevertheless, the promise is true, and it's been through this year, 52 weeks. And all the times that we've been together around the Word of God, both Sunday and weeknight, there's been this sustaining, hasn't there? And he shall sustain, not he may. And do you know what seems so wonderful? When you know the depths of your own wretched heart and the snare of unbelief that rises so great, the word still remains, he shall sustain thee. It seems a miracle to me. But then, of course, everything the Lord does for his people is a wonder of wonders. When you compare the mercy in relationship to the sin of his people and to the sin of the heart, cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. So, the coming days, only the Lord knows what the coming days shall bring. The word just comes to my mind in Paul's epistle to Timothy. What grace is needed to heed the words? It's all right to read them, you know, and it's all right to quote them, and many of us do. The third chapter of the second epistle to Timothy, he talks about the perilous times, and he speaks about traitors. He speaks about those who have a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. And he speaks about the persecutions and afflictions which he himself suffered at Antioch, at Iconium and Lystra. What persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived, that continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. It's very easy to read those words. It needs much grace to abide by them. So, your pathway and mine, this is the word that will take you into 1999, if so be that our lives are spared. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. The mercy here then is that he and he alone can be depended on, and no one else. No one else. Vain is the help of man. My friends, never look to the help of man to support you in your burdens. The Lord grants you grace and faith to look to the Lord, because he changeth not. Amen. Closing hymn 259. me to resign life, health and comfort to thy will, and make thy pleasure mine. Why should I shrink at thy command, whose love forbids my fears, or tremble at the gracious hand that wipes away my tears? Hymn 259.